Hey
Hey guys.
guys.
Sorry.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm in Dom.
I'm Matt Giglio. 3 days left, 4 days left until the first four begins. Sorry.
Yes.
2 days until Selection Sunday.
Yes, and 2 days before Selection Sunday, this big baby. I'm home for spring break. Peak March Madness time, and I'm so happy to be home for spring break during this time. I got still the
22 probably.
2021 bracket.
Where's your 2022 bracket?
You got the 2022. I have not. I'm a cheap guy, so I like to reuse stuff. But anyways, we got so much stuff to cover. We got the other half of the conference tournaments to cover, and if we have time, we would do the coaching carousel because that stuff is booming right now. But I'd like to start off, obviously, with the first half of the conferences, the teams that have clinched the auto bid. First off, from the Big Sky, that would be Montana State. What are your thoughts on that game and Montana State heading into the tournament?
Northern Arizona, obviously making it as the 9 seed, very impressive. We both kind of expected them to fall off, not fall off, but we kind of expected that Montana State was going to win this thing, and they did. Shout out to them. I mean, I don't really see them as a threat. Last year they were not a threat. I don't think they will be this year again. Their defense is just not that good. So I think that they will probably be a 15 line once again, but regardless. Shout out to them for making it back to back years. That's some impressive stuff.
Were they 15 line last year? I thought they were 14 last year. Texas Tech was a
Oh,
three.
you're right. I'm sorry. Texas Tech was a 3 seed. My bad. Yeah.
Montana State, good win for them, obviously back to back. Danny Sprinkles did a fantastic job there. Should get a better job real soon, in my opinion. Northern Arizona, I saw a tweet on this. If they won, they would have been the worst team ever in terms of winning percentage to make it to March Madness. That would have been a pretty cool sight, in my opinion. But yeah, I see them being a 14 line once again this year. And like I always say with the Big Sky, no defense, it's all offense. In a right matchup, I could see them being in a high scoring affair. But when you're playing a three line, it's normally not fun, especially when you're a team out of the Big Sky who don't play defense at all.
Definitely agree. And what are the other ones? What were the other? Were there two more other games that happened before? Oh, here it is.
Oh no. That's from the second half. So we'll cover the second half now. It came from the Southland and the
Oh no,
Patriot
we
League.
forgot. No, Colgate.
Yeah, that's the Patriot League.
Oh,
The Patriot
geez.
League. All right, so we'll start off.
Oh, it already updated. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
We'll go to the MAAC bracket. It's been a wild MAAC tournament, I'm not gonna lie. I think it's one of the best ones so far this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And we're down to the semifinal games happening today. 1 seed Iona and the 5 seed Niagara, and the 10 and 11 seeds are both in the semifinals. St. Peter's and Marist both looking to shatter some hearts in the MAAC. They already have. I mean, Ryder fell, Quinnipiac fell, Manhattan and Fairfield all fell to the mighty bottom two teams in this conference, which is very phenomenal. That just shows how this conference is really a top, not top heavy, but there's one clear favorite, which is Iona, obviously, and then 2 through 11, it's a battle every single day. As we see with the Big Ten, it's very similar to the Big Ten in terms of it's not very, there's not a lot of, what am I trying to say? Outliers, I guess. They're all kind of in the middle. Shout out to stats. That's what I'm thinking of right now. But yeah, what do you think of these two games and who's gonna win this?
If you don't mind, could you pull up our MAAC preseason rankings? I
Good.
honestly think Iona is going to run the table here. Rick Pitino, too much speculation on him for next year. I wish we could breeze by these 16 conferences and talk about coaching carousel because I love that. But I think Iona is going to win this conference. I think Marist will beat St. Peter's. I really like Patrick Gardner from Marist. He's a 7-footer, can do it all. And I think Iona's going to win both games by – I think they're going to win today by, I'd say, 7, and they'll win the finals by 15.
Oh, boy. I'm looking at the preseason projections. Who do you think you had first? Well, to be fair, this is before all the stuff happened, so I'll say that.
Preface. Who do I think I had first? Man, I know I have Manhattan first. Yeah. I know that for a fact that I have Manhattan first.
Yeah. That was before all the chaos, but I had Iona first, so shout out to me.
And I'm assuming my dark horse was Fairfield.
It was Ryder, so that was good. I picked Fairfield.
Where'd I put Marist?
Marist, we both had Marist 11th.
Oh, so we were right about that.
Yes, but we did not have them going this far. So yes, it juxtaposes itself. But yes, we were somewhat correct. So I think I was going to run the table as well. I expect them to go back-to-back. Today, Rick Pitino's obviously been in talks of – I mean, I don't know why he's not thinking about this, but teams are obviously trying to bring him in to high major levels. Texas Tech and St. John's have both showed interest in him, as well as Georgetown maybe. But it seems Rick Pitino will have an offer to go high major if he chooses after the MAAC and obviously March Madness if they make it there. But that will be something to look forward to after the season. But regardless, I think Iona's going dancing back to back.
And next up, we got the Mid-American Conference, also known as the MAC. The first semifinal game is already on our way. It is Toledo and Ohio. Toledo's up 5 right now with 4 minutes left in the first half. The second half, or the second side of the semifinals, none other than a classic Akron versus Kent State matchup. So those are the 4 teams left. Who you got coming out of this MAC?
Yeah, I like the MAC, obviously, this year. It's been very chalk so far, except for Ohio taking down Ball State. That was just a 4-5 matchup. But the top 3 seeds are still alive. I think Toledo wins today. I think Kent State Akron game will be a very good game for mid-major lovers. I definitely advise tuning into that one. But I'm going to be going with Akron advancing, and I'm going to be going with Toledo winning the whole thing. I mean, Toledo is legit, and I think it's their year. So I'm going to go Toledo winning this conference.
Yeah, Toledo's I feel like it's been the top of the MAC every single year, and they just can't get it done in the tournament. I have them going to the finals, and I have them meeting Akron, and I think Akron goes back-to-back MAC championships. But honestly, I'd like to see more than 2 teams in the MAC every year, or at least 2 teams in the MAC every year. I think at least 2 teams every year are capable of playing in the tournament and winning. And probably out of the top 3 seeds, the two losers will probably play in the NIT, which I'm very excited to see them play in the NIT.
Agreed. And I did have Toledo first. It's good because I can actually go down the list of projections right now as we follow along. So I had Toledo first. You had Kent State first. You put Toledo 3, which is a little low for them. Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay. Then I have the top 3 right. Who would I put 2? Akron?
Kent State. Akron, Toledo for you. I put Toledo, Kent State, Akron. So I was correct. Yeah, I was.
Where we put Ball State?
Ball State. We missed on Ball State. I put them 8. I put them 8. You put them 6. And we both put Western Michigan 4. So that was a big flop. They didn't even make the postseason. We'll keep moving forward. Next conference up is the Mid-Eastern, MEAC. This is down to the semifinal games as well. We have the 1 seed Howard taking on the 4 seed Maryland Eastern Shore, and the 2 seed NC Central taking on the 3 seed Norfolk State. This has been another very chalk tournament thus far. The top 4 seed advanced to the semis. Norfolk State obviously won last year. Do you think Norfolk State runs it back as the 3 seed right now, or do you think a new team in the MEAC will take home the crown?
Yeah. I think Howard's going to win this tournament. I really do. They've been phenomenal this year, actually, in conference play, and they finally figured out their team. And Howard, obviously, one of the more prestigious schools in the whole country, and their basketball program hasn't been good at all in the school's history, and it's finally good to see them finally having success.
Agreed. And, I think they're due. They got a very good team. I like their squad a lot. Steve Settle and Elijah Hawkins, very good players. I'm going to go Howard as well. I know they're the 1 seed, but I think they're legit. So I'm going to go Howard as well. And we put Howard – you put them 4. I put them 2. Howard was your dark horse. I mean, I guess that works somewhat. I put Maryland Eastern Shore. So good on me. But yeah, I mean this conference, since it's so small, it's kind of easy. Shout out to us.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously the winner of the MEAC will be a 16 seed. That's probably a given at this point.
First four, definitely.
Maybe not like Norfolk State. They'll play Gonzaga or a one seed. You get the gist. But next up, we got the Missouri Valley Arch Madness. What a tournament this was. One of the first tournaments done. And the winner was Drake. We both had Southern Illinois winning this. I'm not going to lie.
Picks-wise, yeah.
Yeah. But Drake projected 12 seed. What are your thoughts on this team heading into March Madness?
Yeah, Drake's dangerous, man. Obviously, this team has a ton of guys they can go to. Roman Penn, Garrett Schertz, Tucker DeVeers. They got a ton of guys they can go to. That's why they're so dangerous. And I really do think Drake's legit. They got a good bench as well and very well coached. So, yeah, Drake's the full package. Obviously, made it last year at – no, did they make – no, they didn't make it last year, did they?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, that's right, with Joseph Yusefu in the first four game. Still remember that dunk. That thing was crazy. Oh, but, yeah, Drake's back, and I think they're going to make some noise once again. And they're going to keep it – if they play a five seed, I think they have a chance to crack it down. Out of the 12 lines, sorry, I don't think they're the highest chance of winning an upset, but they got a good shot. So don't count out Drake at all.
Yeah, and if you think Pitt is old, man, Drake is older than
Pitt. Yeah, Drake's very old.
It's ridiculous. Four of their five got everyone except Tucker DeVries, who's the player of the year this year as a sophomore. They're 25 years old, which is absolutely ridiculous in my opinion. And I like those type of teams. I'm super high on Drake. I remember preseason. I think I had them one, if I'm not mistaken.
You did. Yeah, you did.
And I said I think they're top 25 team. They're fringe top 25 team. And honestly, they're playing like one heading into March Madness. And I really do think they can make some sort of deep run into the second weekend and even in the Final Four if the matchups are favorable, like always.
Definitely agree. Next conference up, a great one, the Mountain West, always a great one. The Mountain West is the most interesting conference this year, considering how many bids they're going to get. We think it's probably going to be three, but it could be two. But you never – it could be five for all we know. Not five, four. If, obviously, San Jose State can complete the miracle. And speaking of them, they're the five seed playing the one seed, San Diego State, in the semis. And the number two seed, Boise State, takes on the number three seed, Utah State. Talk about Nevada. Nevada played themselves out of the tournament, essentially. They lost three games end of the regular season and obviously lost to San Jose State. So they're pretty much out of the field now. But right now, Boise State, San Diego State, and Utah State, I believe, should be in the field right now, according to Lunardi. I have a bone to pick with him. I won't get into that right now. The shirt says it all. Clemson's not in right now, according to Lunardi. We won't get into it. But regardless, who do you have winning the Mountain West?
Yeah, I think Utah State is a – I'm going to say lock. I think they're a lock.
I would not say a lock.
You look at their metrics, they're top 25 they're top 25 in essentially every metric. The lowest team to not get in the tournament had a net rating of 33, and it was last year. So I think essentially Utah State's played themselves, especially beating New Mexico yesterday. I think that they're gonna make it in the tournament. As for Nevada, like you said, they were an 8 seed a week and a half ago, and they're not gonna make the tournament. They got a quad 4 loss at Wyoming, and then just bad losses after bad losses, and they're probably gonna be a 1 seed in the NIT now. But I can honestly see San Jose State, making a Cinderella run. Tim Myers has done a phenomenal job, but I'm gonna go with Utah State winning this tournament and genuinely locking themselves in the tournament.
Yeah, that would solidify themselves, and I honestly like that pick as well. I think they got a very good chance to make it there. That's gonna be a good matchup, Boise and Utah tonight. Definitely gonna hopefully watch that one, but. I mean, personally speaking, I would love San Jose State to win this.
I would like that too.
I would love it.
Dad, shout out my dad. He went there. So
really?
Yeah, he went there for his undergrad, man.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. But yeah, next conference up, the NEC. I know we got a lot of opinions on this one. Merrimack won the NEC tournament, but is ineligible to play. This is their last year being ineligible. So what does that mean? The runner-up, Fairleigh Dickinson, will be representing the NEC. Fairleigh Dickinson did have a very fantastic season. They'll finish solo second in NEC after firing a coach deep into the offseason and essentially having no roster by August. And the fact that he built a roster in a month and now playing for a tournament is phenomenal. But what are your thoughts on this decision? And I know you have your opinion, and I'll probably agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's very ridiculous that they have to wait that long. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense at all. And I don't know why it's four. Like, one or two, yeah, sure, that's all right. I mean, it's still not great, but it's okay. Four is just way too long, man. We've seen this happen already plenty of times before, and they're just not in the NEC alone, but I remember Jacksonville. No, it was Bellarmine who had their chance, and they got wiped away. So it should not be happening. I don't understand it. I understand if it was 1 or 2 years, but having a four-year ban to make it just makes no sense. I mean, you're the best team in your conference, and you showed that, and you beat the teams that you need to beat to get a chance to go dancing. I just don't understand it. It does not make sense to me. But regardless, we both did have Merrimack winning this conference anyways, so shout out to us. But, yeah, it's just unfortunate. But I guess that is what it is. But next year, hopefully they can do it again and officially go dancing for the first time in school history. Yeah.
It is extremely unfortunate because Merrimack's won the regular season title 2 of the 4 years they've been in Division One. So you could call Joe Gallo a dynasty type, doing a dynasty type thing there at Merrimack right now. Obviously one of the more elite zone defenses. And before I say we should do this breaking news before we go to the next conference, Jim Boeheim has finally retired after 47 years. What are your thoughts on that? Over 1,000 wins, a national championship, lots of Final Four appearances. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you just pulled that out of the blue. But what made you?
I know. It's because Merrimack got me thinking of the 2-3 zone. I'm like, all right, okay, Jim Boeheim.
Yeah. I mean, it's very disappointing. Obviously, Boeheim was phenomenal. And I saw his speech. He had one yesterday. Very sad. He's obviously a legend. Already in the Hall of Fame, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it said he was going to take a different role at the university. So that's great. I think that's good. He's going to stick at Syracuse. But yeah, I mean, that's just unfortunate. I mean, it makes sense now. Obviously, Buddy is off the team. Not off the team, but he graduated. So it makes sense. Obviously, his time was coming soonish. We knew that. But kind of unexpected. I didn't see that coming at all. I thought I guess I'm just not acclimated to him retiring. I mean, I feel like he's going to be there as long as he could. But yeah, shout out to him. He's a legend, and go Orange.
Yeah, 4 years in a row that a legend has retired. We had last year was Jay Wright, Roy Williams, or Coach K the year before that. And then Roy Williams the year before that, right? Did I get my order right?
All yep.
Right. Just making sure. Yeah.
Roy. Did Jay Wright come before K? No. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, all right. We'll figure that one out. But
like regardless, four legends. That's all you need.
Shout out Mike Bray as well. He had a very fantastic career at Notre Dame. Yeah. Obviously not in the tier that those four were at, but he did very well at Notre Dame as well. On to the next conference. That would be the Ohio Valley, where SEMO out of nowhere took the conference championship. This was one of the first ones done as well. They're projected a 16 seed. What are your thoughts on this team heading into the tournament?
Yeah, man. Shout out SEMO. Very gritty team. Making it from the play-in all the way to the final. And unfortunate for our boy, obviously, Eric Reed Jr. His team goes dancing the year he leaves. Regardless,
yeah, he's going to go dancing.
I know.
Too.
He's still going dancing. and he's in a high major role. So that's obviously great for both teams, both sides. But yeah, shout out SEMO, man. I actually had them fifth projected. You had them seventh, so you were hating on them a little too much. But yeah, I really do like this team a lot. They got some great scores. I mean, Phillip Russell is a dog. He's an all first teamer. But yeah, I mean, I don't really see them posing a threat to a one seed, but you never know. I mean, I've seen crazier things happen. But this team's gritty. I like this team a lot, and shout out to them, obviously, for going dancing.
Mm-hmm. They are peaking at the right time, though. They look unstoppable offensively throughout the whole tournament. But obviously, when you're playing in one seed, I don't think it's going to pose a threat. I think their run ends early.
Agreed. Next conference up, another high major, Power 5, the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is down to the Final Four. We have the one seed UCLA taking on the four seed Oregon and the two seed Arizona, and an in-state rivalry against the six seed Arizona State, who took down USC the other day. Pretty chalk, except for obviously Arizona State taking down USC. Regardless, right now the Pac-12, I think three teams should be in here. I think USC still sneaks in, even with the loss yesterday. And obviously, if Oregon or Arizona State ends up winning this thing, that's going to be four teams from the Pac-12 going dancing. What are your thoughts on the rest of the Pac-12 shaking up? What do you got?
Yeah, I think Arizona State has already played its way into the tournament. I'm going to say that right now. Beating Arizona. I mean, they're one of the first teams out before they beat Arizona.
I know.
And they beat USC, which is a quad one win as well. So I think they played themselves into the first four. And that's my opinion. USC, probably a 10 seed. I'm not impressed with either of the two teams. I think Arizona State's a lot better than USC, though. But I'm not impressed with any team that's not named UCLA or Arizona. And I think with Jaden Clark out for the season, officially out for the season with the torn Achilles, Arizona's going to win this conference. And I think they win it pretty convincingly.
Yeah, I'm honestly smelling an upset tonight. I think Oregon takes down UCLA early. I got Oregon going to the final. Dan Allman's going to do all he can. And this Oregon team, I know that they've definitely struggled the past couple of years, but this is the moment where they shine. Big-time events. I think they got a chance here to crack down on UCLA. I think they're going to win tonight. But regardless, I'm still going to pick Arizona as well. I think this team's very good, and they're loaded. So I got to go Arizona. Arizona will probably end up being what do you think they're going to be, a three seed or a four seed?
Arizona?
Yeah.
What does Lenardi have them right now?
I don't know. But Arizona's a very interesting team because like they're a two seed in the Pac-12.
They're projected a two seed and a 7 overall seed. I think regardless of what happens today and tomorrow, I think they stay a two seed. I don't see anybody from the three line. Yeah, I don't see anybody from the three line except Marquette leaping them.
Honestly. I think if Arizona beats UCLA, then they're solidified anyways as a two seed. But yeah, that's interesting. I thought they were a little bit lower for some reason. But yeah, Arizona's legit. I think they're going to win this thing.
Mm-hmm. And next up, we got the Patriot League. The winner, none other than Colgate. They've won this for a long time. They've done this, been there, done that. Done this for a very long time. And Matt Langle has set himself up for, once again, another big job, offseason after offseason. But Colgate, projected 14 seed. What are your thoughts on this team heading into March, where they almost upset your Badgers last year?
Oh, I remember. Don't you worry. I remember. I think he's due for a higher job. If he doesn't take one this offseason, I don't – he's crazy. He's had so many opportunities to take it. I respect his loyalty. I mean, that's a very, very big loyalty to Colgate. I respect that a lot. But, yeah, man, this Colgate team's legit. Tucker Richardson, Keegan Records, they got it all. They got a full package, and I like this team a lot. And as you saw last year, they can make some noise. So they never count this team out. Trying to find the projections. Here they are. We both had Colgate, obviously. Oh, I forgot you did not have Colgate.
Who the heck? Let me guess who I have.
You put Colgate 3.
Who did I have 1 and 2?
American and Bucknell. Yeah, remember we both.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yeah, I forgot we talked about this. But, yeah, Colgate's legit. I think they strike a pose for a three seed. So watch out. This team's got a lot left. And if this team still had Nelly Cummings, too, I think this team would be even better than they are right now. I still think they're very good. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, Colgate's looking to make an upset. I think they got a chance.
Yeah, I'm looking at the three seeds right now. Tennessee, Gonzaga, Marquette, and UConn. And I'm not even going to lie. I think they're capable of beating all four of those programs. I'm going to be completely honest. Just the way they play.
Capable. Yeah.
Yeah, capable. I didn't say they're going to win. I said they're capable on a
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
That they could beat those four teams. One of the best three-point shooting teams in the nation. They've been one of the best for a while now. You saw that at Wisconsin when they played Wisconsin last year, right? Yeah, it was crazy.
I did.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this team compete in March Madness.
Agreed. Next conference up, Southeastern Conference, also known as
the SEC.
What? That's why I couldn't find it. I was so confused. Yeah, obviously this one going on as we speak. Give me a Tennessee update. They were
very close. They lost by 8 to Missouri.
They lost. Wow. That's huge. So right now the quarterfinals are happening today. There's two games that already happened. Number one, Bama took care of Mississippi State. And they're going to be playing the 4-seed Missouri, who beat Tennessee, which is very surprising to me. Missouri was the 4-seed, so I guess it's not too surprising. But Tennessee is also banged up, I guess. So that happens. And then the other two games, Texas A&M, the 2-seed, taking on the 10-seed Arkansas, who beat Auburn the other day. And the 6-seed Vanderbilt taking on the 3-seed Kentucky. How do you think the rest of this SEC will pan out, or the Southeastern, as I should say?
Yeah, this is a very – It's very interesting how the seedings came out. I mean, there's some teams that we did not expect to be 10 seed like Arkansas or 2 seed like Texas A&M, and now they're facing each other. I'm going to go with this. The winner of the Texas A&M Arkansas games winning the SEC tournament.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm really high on A&M. I always have been this year. I know my rankings.
And with Arkansas, sorry to interrupt, they got Nick Smith Jr. back. So
yep.
They probes a they're
Yes. Arkansas is peaking at the right time is what you're trying to say. Yes, I agree. So I think they do strike a pose to A&M today. But yeah, I really see A&M. I do think the winner of this game is also going there as well. In my case, I think that's A&M. I still think they're the better team in this game, even with Nick Smith Jr. back. So I'm going to go A&M winning this whole thing. But yeah, SEC obviously looking pretty good. Vanderbilt sneaky, like making a good push to
they're
make
in the
it
bubble all of a sudden, man.
Yeah, very sneaky. And I remember I made a TikTok, or I duetted a dude's TikTok, and he thought Vanderbilt was gonna make the tournament. I thought he was crazy. So shout out to that guy. He's looking pretty good right now. They gotta win tonight though against Kentucky to have a chance. But yeah, SEC looking pretty good. We'll see how it pans out these next 2 days.
Mm-hmm. And the next conference we probably already covered, but the SoCon, the winner after 43 years, Furman has finally punched his ticket into March Madness. Richie Riley has finally done it, and they've been really good over the past 5 years as well. I remember they beat Villanova, I think, 3 years ago and made it into the top 25. Now they're in the tournament and projected a 13 seed. What are your thoughts on this program heading into March?
Yeah, like I said, the 12 seed lines are very good. Furman will strike a pose to a 5 seed as well. So if you're a 5 seed, watch out. You got a very high – I mean, even – what?
They're 13 seed, probably.
Oh, I thought you said 12. No. Oh, whatever. Regardless, 13 seed still strike a pose to a 4 line. We saw that happen last year as well. The stats are pretty much – if you're a 4 or 5 seed, you're in a little bit of trouble. I'll tell you that much. Furman is a team that can do that. We saw New Mexico State do that last year. I think Furman is that team that steals a game from a high seed this year as well.
Yes, as do I. I can see them also making a pretty significant run in the tournament if they play to their level. But, yeah, I really like Furman. Furman and Drake are the two teams that I'm truly monitoring as double-digit seeds right now, as of right now. And we'll get to the other one soon.
Great. Next conference up is the Southland Conference, which ended on Wednesday. The winner was the number one seed, the Islanders. Texas A&M, Corpus Christi taking down Northwestern State. Back-to-back years, the A&M CC Islanders are going dancing. What are your thoughts on them? Obviously going to be a 16 seed, but what do you think of this program and the direction they're going in?
Yeah, maybe even a 15 seed, but I don't know. But
I know last year they were a playing team.
Yeah, they were. And they're running it back with the same exact team. I mean, 25 is the same exact. And even if, let's say they are a 15 seed, I don't know, man. I honestly don't know. I don't think so, but
– I don't think so.
I'm thinking about it, but no. If they're 16 seed, I can see them. I mean – They'll give a one seed somewhat of a challenge in the first half and probably get pulled away in the second half. They did play Oklahoma State, and that's exactly what happened. They made it competitive in the first half, and OK State pulled it second half. But it's a good team. Shout out Steve Lutz. He also follows us on the Twitter.
Yeah, shout out him. Yeah, that's huge. Obviously, I was looking around, and I saw he followed some guys that we knew. So I was like, why not give him a follow? Toss one back. Shout out to him. Very cool guy.
Mm-hmm. And next up, we have the SWAC, also known as the Southwestern Tournament. If I could find it somewhere.
I have it if you need it.
Yeah, you could do it.
Okay. Yeah, so the SWAC is looking interesting. Somewhat chalk, somewhat not. The one seed Alcorn State lost to who else but Texas Southern.
I still remember. I texted you. I'm like, wait. When was Alcorn State a one seed?
I know. I was very surprised they were the one seed. But, yeah, they won the head-to-head against the two seed Grambling State, who also won the other day. So right now the matchups, the 8 seed Texas Southern, who won this conference last year, taking on the 5 seed Alabama A&M, and the 2 seed Grambling State taking on the 3 seed Jackson State. What are your thoughts on this semifinal games?
Yeah, Texas Southern already won by a
13. Oh, the game already happened? Oh.
Yeah, and then the Jackson State game will be
probably soon, right?
In an hour. So, yeah, I just saw it. But, yeah, I think Texas Southern wins this thing. Yep. They're peaking at the right time. They're healthy at the right time. The only reason they're an 8 seed, injuries.
Agreed. And pulling up the projections.
It'll be a 16 seed. Whoever wins it will be a 16 seed.
True. But, yeah. Yeah, I put Texas Southern 3. A little silly on me. We both put Alcorn State 6. So, yeah, this conference is kind of all over the place. I put Jackson State 10. So, yeah, I did not do well.
We put
this
one.
Huh?
Who do we put first?
You put Texas Southern. I put Southern, who lost and fired their coach. So, yeah.
Interesting. But next conference up is the Sun Belt Conference. And a team that has been very under the radar. A team that has been very good, but I don't think anybody in the country is talking about them. That would be the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns. They won the Sun Belt. They're going to be a 13 seed. And what are your thoughts on this program heading to March? No one has talked about them, so let's give them some love.
Yeah, they need some love. They're a very good team. Shout out you picked them first, and they ended up doing so. Yeah, man, they got a lot of good guys. Jordan Brown and Colby Julian leading this team. Very sneaky team as well. Obviously, they're the 2 seed, but in this conference, everyone was talking about Southern Miss, historic year. Marshall's back. James Madison coming in, looking really good. Troy. And then obviously South Alabama made that charge at the end of the year. But, yeah, Louisiana is a very good team. They can definitely strike pose. What seed line did you say they were? 14 or 13?
13.
Yeah, so another good team that can maybe make some noise at a 13 seed. If I had to rank the 13 seeds, I probably wouldn't put Louisiana too high. I put Furman above them. But I still think they're a very good team, very capable if they have the right matchup to upset a 4 seed.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to put Louisiana over Furman. And, I mean, probably not in the seeding line, but I think Louisiana is a better team for this one reason. Jordan Brown's a very good center. Obviously, played at Arizona, played at Nevada, and now he's at Louisiana. And I think these are the teams that, like, if you have a quality big man as a mid-major program, like Louisiana, for example, you're going to strike a pose. That's why I think UNC Asheville could make some noise because Drew Pember's an elite big man as well. And I think Louisiana could very well upset a 4 seed, in my opinion, since they have a very good big man who rarely fouls as well.
Very true. I definitely see that. Having a big man as a mid-major team helps a ton. We saw that with Vermont last year, Ryan Davis. I was watching some highlights of that game. Yeah, it was sick. But, yeah, they kept it very close with Arkansas. Obviously ended up losing, but having a big man in a mid-major school helps a ton. Yeah. Next conference up is the Summit League. This one was short and sweet. Oral Roberts took home this one pretty convincingly. It seemed like they won every game by like 50 or so. So, yeah, Max Asmus back in the tournament for his last dance. Thoughts on that? Thoughts on Oral Roberts? Thoughts on maybe another historic run?
They'll be a 12 seed. And like I said, they got a quality point guard. And Max Asmus, they got a great surrounding cast. They got all their guys from the Sweet 16, with the exception of Kevin O'Banners, is back. I mean, they're still running the same team from what their Sweet 16 run, and I honestly think that Connor Vandover is a upgrade over Kevin O'Banner. I'm not gonna.
No, it is not an upgrade. No, it is not. Yeah, it definitely helps a lot because he's
like. But he's 7'5". He can shoot.
Yeah, it helps. Him. It helps in different aspects. Yes, yeah, but. I wouldn't like call I said, it necessarily an
upgrade. He's a quality big man as well. He's in that tier of Drew Pember. He's in that tier of Jordan Brown.
I put him there as well. I agree.
Yeah, I can't really name any more big men that's in the mid-majors in the tournament right now. But, yeah, you get the point. Oral Roberts could very well make another run. Even to the Final Four, they have that kind of team this year.
Okay. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. You never know, I understand. But Final Four – that'd be something. I'd honestly pay to see that. So I hope they do that for our sake. But yeah, I don't think that's.
You say I'm crazy. I mean, St. Peter's made the Elite Eight last year.
I know. I shouldn't say that's too unrealistic because it's really not. So yeah, I'll shut my mouth on that one.
Yeah, they're also the 26th ranked team in the AP poll and should be in the top 25 probably next week. I'd say
they don't have any more next week.
Well, you get
that point. Was the last week. That's the last week of the poll. I don't know. Actually, they might have a.
All fun. Right. Yeah. I think you're right. It is 18 weeks.
Okay.
All right. Next up, the West Coast Conference. It is Gonzaga. Let me see what their projection is. Excuse me for a sec. They are a.
You said three.
Yeah, you're right. Three seed. What are your thoughts?
Gonzaga. This is not this usual Gonzaga team that we expect. This is a team that's very overlooked, and I think in ways that helps Gonzaga. I think they won't be as looked as a bigger threat as some other schools this year, which is, I think, really good for them because obviously the past 2 years they've been seen as a threat, the team to beat, and I think that pressure got to them at this point. Whereas this year, I think they can kind of lance a little bit more freer. I know they're a three seed, but I think they got a better chance of going further than they have before just because of that pressure. Regardless, I still don't think they will go that far. I think they have some flaws to their team. St. Mary's definitely exploited those. I know that they lost the championship game, but St. Mary's exploited those in the regular season. So Gonzaga is not vulnerable by any means. I think there'll still be a Sweet 16 exit. But yeah, I think St. Mary's is also a good team, but I think they might get bounced a little bit earlier to them.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with both takes there. Actually, the hype for Gonzaga has kind of died down this year. You're completely right about that. And I think that might benefit them and make them go a little bit deeper than what I usually think they will go, which is probably Sweet 16, Elite Eight. But yeah, we got less than a minute. So we got less than a minute.
Oh, what the heck? I just saw 10 and now
let's cover the WAC conference as fast as possible.
Yep.
You want me to do it? All right. Semifinals. Southern Utah and Utah Valley. That's the later game of the two. And the earlier, the Sam Houston Grand Canyon. That should be an absolute tilt. Who you got winning this one? The winner of this tournament will be a 14-15 seed.
Grand Canyon's here. They're the one line. I think they're going to make it there. Good team. I think they got a lot of talent.
Southern Utah, baby. That's all I have to say. I'm high on them when they were in the Big Sky. I'm high on them now.
That is all we got. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you on Sunday.
You tomorrow for Coaching Carousel.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah. See you tomorrow, guys.